Let's jump right into it here. We're less than a month away from the NFL draft, where the Miami Dolphins, as of right now, have that 11th pick, and we're joined this morning by the head football coach, Adam Gase. Coach, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. Sitting here drinking a lot of coffee and got a lot of stuff going on here. By the way, before we get into everything, anybody you like in the Masters coming up this weekend? Are you a Tiger guy?
I don't know if I really had time to follow it, but I heard you've been paying lately.
Yeah, I like it.
Oh, man.
I like it.
Every time we have a pool around here, everybody wants me to throw in a 20 for them. It's amazing.
That's what happens when you make as much as you do.
Right? Yeah, coach, isn't that right? Like, we have pools and we have these brackets. Like, we should go to Joe and say, you know, if it's a $20 bracket, I usually tell Joe it's $40. Like, that's smart, right? Yeah. I'm not stupid.
That's good. That's real
that's
good.
Fair.
Yeah,
that's
fair.
Let's get into all the juicy stuff for Dolphin fans. We've heard a lot this offseason, Coach, with the moves you've made so far and guys you haven't signed, what you have signed, about changing culture. And what exactly does all that mean for fans and everybody else when they hear their head coach talking about a different culture?
Really, the NFL's just gotten such a year-to-year, you know, kind of build each year. You know, every time you look at your roster, you've had a good chunk of guys that have come through the draft, and you try to really put the pieces together with free agency. And right now, I think we're at an interesting spot because we had a lot of guys up in free agency. We had some situations with some contracts where, you know, the number got pretty high to where we had to make a move. And really, at the end of the day, we wanted to bring in some veteran guys that have had playoff experience, Super Bowl experience, leadership, you know, to go along with a lot of the young guys that we have, because we have a lot of them. We have a lot of guys that are 25 and under on this team.
Let me ask you, because I get this all the time. Better culture, does that mean more leaders, and does that mean more wins? Because that's obviously what this is all about.
I think you have to look at it as trying to make sure everybody in that locker room is all trying to go for the same thing. It's all about winning, and that's really what it's all about. And I think as long as we got 53 guys pulling in the same direction, trying to find a way to win a game for that week, that's what we're looking for.
All right, Adam, I want to go back to us at training camp last year. The day training camp opened, we were going live there, and the one thing we brought up before we started talking was Ryan Tannehill and how excited we were for Ryan and the new season and how pumped you were. You were pumped up, Coach, and obviously he gets injured a week later or whatever. But, again, we're going into the season. Ryan Tannehill's the guy. How pumped up should we be again? How pumped up are you to get Ryan getting going with camp and everything and just get this new season started?
Anytime I see him, I get excited because, you know, he's given you everything he has. He's gone above and beyond his rehab. I mean, he is really pushing hard to make sure that he is better than he's ever been, you know, especially health-wise. I mean, that was a tough one to go through. You know, we were feeling good. You know, he had done so much in the spring, in the summer, before training camp to make sure that and nothing can happen, and it was kind of a, you know, a fluke deal with what happened at practice, and, you know, that was a tough one for a lot of us to swallow. Just we had worked so hard for so long to get to that point where we felt the way we did through those 10 days of practice. I mean, he was practicing really well. Guys were really feeling like they were in a good groove on offense, and then, you know, we basically had to start over.
Coach, Ryan Tannehill and the things he was doing before he got injured, he by far is playing his best football, helping you guys get to the 10 wins in the playoffs. You're going to let him do all those same things? Is he still going to do the read option and tuck it and still run? Is it all back on, or do you have to change the way you use him coming off the knee?
I think we're going to be, especially early, we'll just be smart with what we do in practice, kind of see how everything goes. But if I try to restrict him in any ways, that's not going to go over real well with him. He's such a competitor. He knows his body. He knows how he's feeling. You know, I think you've seen a lot of guys come off these type of injuries and be able to be close to the same guy that they were before they got hurt. I mean, this isn't this isn't how it was when you played, where it was, if you got this injury, it was tough to come back from. You see guys coming off these ACL right. injuries, and I mean, it's unbelievable what these doctors are doing.
Coach, going back to the 6-10 real quickly and just put that to rest, what obviously it's about winning games, and you did, and you lost some tight ones, you blown out in some other ones. What was the most frustrating part of that 6-10 for you when you look back? And I know you've gone through it and evaluated a zillion times in your brain. What frustrated you the most about that team?
I think just when we look back at it, just the fact that we were right there in the mix at the end, and you know, we end up winning against New England, and we got a great shot to go up to Buffalo and really make a move and you know, take a rough season and turn that thing around real fast. And we didn't get it done. You know, it was not the team that we wanted to be. You know, when you hear the word front runner used by people to describe us, that's something that's not going to be accepted here. And we're going to make changes, and we're going to make sure that, you know, we get the right people that are going to do things the way we want them. That's, you know, at end of the year told myself a lot as far as who was in and who was out.
How personally frustrating watching this team last year for you was it? I mean, forget about the team concept. I'm just saying for you, because coming off a 10-6 going to the playoffs, seeing the quarterback go down early in the season, bringing in Jay Cutler, the season in general, when you look back at it, for you personally, frustration level was what?
I think it was more waiting for the light to kick on, especially after the New England game. That game at Buffalo just seemed like 20-hour game. You know, I was just waiting for us to turn the corner and really get going, and we could just never – nothing was working for us, and just there was no swagger, there was no attitude, and that was disappointing to see. And it wasn't everybody. There's, you know, you turn on that tape, there's guys that stand out noticeably as far as their effort and their play that was extremely high, and they were given everything they had, and we just did not have enough guys doing that, and that's why things stuck out so much on some of these games. And you know, that's why we felt like we needed to change some things around. And you know, we had a lot of good guys in that locker room last year that gave it everything they had, and no matter what happened, they never wavered, and they just kept plugging away, and we feel like we've added good pieces to that group.
Coach, how much do you like overall this quarterback class coming in? This draft class, is it as good as everybody says, especially at the top, potentially?
I mean, it's rare that you see this many quarterbacks get talked about in the top 10. I mean, that's something that you don't see every year. And, you know, it's probably one every 10 years, it feels like, that you get something like that. You know, it's hard for them all to have success, because usually somebody, you know, has some kind of situation where it doesn't go great. And, you know, we'll just kind of see how this thing goes. It's the draft is tough. So, you know, that's why Chris does such a good job putting this thing together for us. And, you know, it's an unproven science for sure, because I mean, you look back at a lot of the drafts around the NFL, I mean, you start going crossing names off real fast, saying this guy's not playing anymore, this guy's not playing anymore, this guy's not playing. I mean, it's a tough right. profession to be in for sure.
How deep is it past the top four guys that everybody's talked about? Is there some other guys that you feel can play in this league?
Oh yeah, I mean, there's going to be a couple guys in there that are especially going to get some opportunities, and you know, it's really going to be kind of the situation that they end up in. And, you know, you see kind of how some of these guys have, you know, nobody's really heard of some of these guys before, you know, that ended up playing last year, where they thought they were backup quarterbacks, and all of a sudden they're starting and they're in the playoffs, and everybody's kind of like, well, where'd this guy, you know, how come he's good all of a sudden? And sometimes it takes some time. Sometimes it's about patience.
Adam, Zach the Radio Hack and Zach the Dolphins fan wants to know, the Brock Osweiler signing, I look at that, and all I see is negative news around this guy the last couple years.
Everybody's down on the guy.
Everyone's down on the guy. All of a sudden I see it on the Twitter or whatever it is, Miami Dolphins signed Brock Osweiler. How, as a Dolphins fan, forget about me being a media hack, how should I be excited about Brock Osweiler? Tell me.
You know, it's hard for me to speak on the last few years. You know, I stayed in contact with him just because he was a guy that I was a part of drafting, and I spent a lot of time with him as a very young player. you know, he's a grinder, man, and it's just, it hasn't changed. I mean, things didn't go as they didn't go his way, and it didn't work out in Houston, and you know, them trading him, and then he ends up back in Denver, you know, after a quick stop in Cleveland. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, this is the NFL. This happens. I mean, he's coming in here. He wanted to be around the system that he knows really well. He wants to be coached the way that he liked to be coached, which, you know, we had a good relationship. I'm sure it wasn't always easy for him, but, you know, he liked that, and he wanted to get back around it. And to me, he has a lot of skills that you're looking for in a quarterback. He's one of those guys gravitate to in the locker room. They like being around him. They like hanging out with him. You know, when I didn't see any downside to it because, I mean, the guy's young. He's still young, and he has talent. And, you know, we wanted to have some good competition at that for that number two spot.
Coach, how are you going to play all these defensive ends? I mean, Robert Quinn's a really good player. Charles Harris going in his second year. I know you felt strongly about him and his work ethic. And Andre Branch comes back healthy. Cam Wake, William Hayes, and Malvo showed you a little something when he got to play there. We got too many guys. How are you going to play all these guys?
You're really going to say we got too many defensive ends?
Well, I mean, you can't keep eight guys. No, what do you do? Is there special packages? What's the thoughts on who's on the left, who's on the right, how this thing's going to play out?
We've talked about this as far as how we want to play this thing, and really at the end of the day, the way that Chris Caseri is going to coach these guys and how they're going to be, the expectation level of how they're supposed to play. I mean, he wants these guys pursuing the ball. He needs a, you know, an eight-man rotation. It's really kind of what Philly did this year, to where, you know, not just defensive ends, but I'm talking about defensive tackles as well, to where these guys are going to be pursuing the ball down the field. They're not going to be able to play 80 snaps a game because that's how much effort they're going to be given. And,
okay,
you know, if that means that we need eight guys up every game and we're going to get the kind of effort that I've seen that Chris Caseri's guys have given over his career as a defensive line coach, I'm all for it, because I just want to see the passion, the effort that I've seen out of his guys in the past. You know, I want to see our guys doing that.
Coach, I want to ask you about tight end position. I've seen now last couple of years how you like to use them. You've had success in the past. How good is this tight end class to find a guy to flex them out in the red zone and do the things you like doing and get mismatches?
Yeah, there's some guys in this class that have some unique skill sets. I think everybody's a little bit different. Every guy, you know, some guys are inline guys. Some guys are able to do both, or some guys are just, you know, you just got to leave them out there almost like a wide receiver and kind of, you know, mix them in the run game a little bit. So it's going to be really, you know, when Chris decides that, you know, when the time to pull the trigger and, you know, when, you know, is the right spot for certain guys, you know, we'll find the right guy for us if we get the opportunity to draft that position. It's just so hard to predict and say, hey, we're going to get this right guy in this round, because the draft's crazy. I mean, you just never know what's going to happen. You never know who's trading where. You never know what other teams are looking for. So, I mean, you have an idea, but really at the end of the day, you're not in their room, so you don't know. So, I mean, it's going to see how it plays out, and, you know, we'll find the right guys for that position, whether it's through the draft, if we had to do something else to make sure that, you know, we got the right guys in that room.
Yeah, I guess a follow-up to that, how's that work on draft day? You're sitting there and Chris is sitting there. Like, how does that teamwork work on draft day as far as looking at this? Are you screaming, we got to move up, man. We got to get him now. I don't care what it takes. Move up four spots. He's going, man. I got to bet. No, calm down over there. Calm down, coach. We're good. How's that all take place and final say on draft day on players?
You know, it's not as – I know you want to make it out to where it's like crazy.
I like a little drama. Yeah, I like that.
I know. It's really kind of boring, to be honest with you. So, really, you look at it like this, is all the work's been done for months ahead of time. And really, this month is the month that things are getting organized. And by the time that you actually hit draft day, you have it organized to where it's all about how's it going to play out. I keep my mouth shut because I've said my opinion on certain things. And, you know, Chris is running that thing. Mike's working trades all the time, and he's talking through a lot of different scenarios of what teams can do. you know, I mean, there's just if there's any discussion, it's healthy discussion. It's everybody just confirm with each other, just making sure that we're all on the same page. But, you know, it's not as crazy as you think.
Adam, I got to ask this. I see a lot of stories being written lately in the last couple of weeks. Even ball distribution. Jarvis, obviously, while he was here, 160 targets last year. He had 400 catches over 4 years. Kenny Stills, Devontae Parker, Amendola, Grant, Wilson. You got a bunch of guys in the stable now. Even ball distribution, something that obviously you want going forward too, not a guy that gets 160 targets a season.
Yeah, I think anytime that you can spread it out, it's makes it harder on the defense, and really you'd like to make it to where really it's a different guy every game that's having a big game. You know, that's really ideal, you know, and where, you know, if a guy's having five catches for 80 yards, that's kind of like his, you know, he was just kind of a part of the game, and that's when you know you're rolling. And I think we got a lot of pieces of the puzzle now, and we got a lot of guys that can do a lot of good things, and, you know, I'm excited to kind of get going on this whole thing.
Coach, Devontae Parker, guy under fan criticism, media criticism, not staying healthy, had a rough stretch of three games when he was injured, trying to play through it. What do you say to this guy? We've all been teased on just how good he can be when he's on. What do you say to this guy coming into this year, Coach? What have you talked about with him?
He wants to be one of those guys people are talking about at the top. I mean, he wants that, and he's done so much to try to put him in a position to where he can stay healthy, that when he does get on the field, he knows exactly what the quarterback's looking for, and then when he gets an opportunity to make plays, then he makes the play. It hasn't gone perfect for him to where he's had injuries. You know, I think last year when we came out of training camp, he was really excited thinking, here we go. It's a really good game that first game, and then a couple games later he gets, you know, that high ankle, which, you know, as a skilled player, that's a tough one to get through. You know, it's not, you know, when it has to deal with your legs, it's, you know, it's a tough situation for him. And he tried to battle through it and come back and still be effective. And, you know, that, you know, we, of course, wish we could look at it and say, hey, he ended up having, you know, 80 catches or 90 catches, but it didn't work out that way. And good thing is he's a young player. He wants to do everything right. He wants to be good. He wants to be one of those guys that can be counted on this roster. And, you know, he's a guy that we all have high hopes for, but at the same time, he's trying to put in the work to make sure that basically he's proven us right in this building. I mean, he wants to be a good player for us.
Adam, I know it probably wasn't the easiest thing because it ended up just being – it just seemed a little bit ugly at the end, but Jarvis Landry, moving him personally and professionally, obviously he was one of your go-to guys the last couple of years. What was it like kind of ending that relationship business professionally and personally with you and Jarvis?
I mean, you know, after that last game, I think it was hard just because, you know, with him and Drake getting ejected, it was a rough way kind of for that last game to end, that our season to end that way. You know, he had a great season. You know, I wish we would have won more games. You know, it was good to get him touchdowns and make sure that wasn't a topic of conversation. I know that was something that going into the season that we wanted to make sure that we did a good job using him in the red zone and giving him opportunities to get in the end zone. And, you know, that worked out. It's just overall as a team, it just didn't work out the way we wanted to. And, you know, I mean, that's what happens when a guy has a lot of production. You kind of get in that last year, and it's a contract year. It's tough to go through those kind of business decisions and those contract negotiations. Those things can get pretty intense sometimes.
Coach, when you look at that needs that we talk about every day when we look at the roster and what it looks like right now, outside linebacker still, when you look at it, tight end, are they at the top of the list, or are we going to have the Chris Greer? We're looking at the best players just to upgrade our roster. How do you feel about all that?
I think I'll go with your second choice. I'm going to go with the Chris Greer. Looking for the best football players.
You're on a roll today, yeah. Boy. You are good. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Chris he's got me in here at 8 o'clock in the morning for meetings here. So then you got me up at 7:30.
I told Joe to get you in the 9 o'clock hour, Coach. I try to get your back.
And once they start meetings, they're all day.
Coach,
I know you did.
Yeah, I had your back. I thought seven. You know, listen, I know coaches are up early. Normally, it's like a 6 a.m. call that we have from the coaches, but I figured 7:30.
I'm later.
Yeah.
Night owl.
Coach showed up at our booth last year before training camp.
Yeah,
he was loose. He was in sandals, ready for practice. Like that's the coach I want.
Before we let you go, like, what's your wife say when you're in the off season at 1 o'clock in the morning? You're still in your office. Like, does she think something? Now I know she comes from a coaching family, but
yeah, I mean, this is just kind of how I've always been. This is kind of how I've always done it, and not much has changed. And I don't know. I just, when I can get home, I get home to see my kids, and, you know, when I can't, just get my work done.
Coach, what do we got to do to get into the war room for the draft?
Oh, I knew that was coming, man.
What do we got? Do I have to sign a non-disclaimer? What do I got to do?
I think you'd be extremely bored. You'd be waiting for the action. You're going to. That you'd be bugging me, saying like, "What? When's something gonna happen?"
Well, that's what I want to do. I want to sit next to you and throw players' names in your ears.
You're making it sound like it's boring, man. We watch NFL Network and ESPN and now Fox, and it looks like things are on the phone. Hey, you interested?
The work's already done.
Oh.
Everything's done. I mean, all the work's done, and I mean, you're just watching kind of everything come off. And a lot of times, you might have to make a decision between, you know, two players or three players.
There you go.
That's what I want, Coach.
And how about the phone ringing, Buffalo trying to get ahead of you? Here come the Cardinals, and, hey, we think this Gase guy loves Manziel. Come on. Hey, well, yeah, so anyway.
It's a lot less interesting when you're like, all right, hey, they want to switch seventh. It's four spots.
Hey, Coach, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it very much. Thank you.
All right, you guys have a good one.
Take care. Adam Gase, Miami Dolphins head coach, joining us.
I like it.